Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine because we are starting. Hey there, and welcome back to another fabulous episode of the podcast. Today is a very exciting day because someone who is behind the scenes on every aspect of the podcast is coming to the front today. Her name is Lauren Wrighton, and she is my podcast producer, strategist, manager, and she is here today to talk more about what a podcast manager is and does and how you can get started as a podcast manager too. And then we're going to kind of dive deep into some of her lessons that she's learned and some of the things that she can point and attribute her success to as she's built her business. She has been a podcast manager and producer, or she's been in the freelance space for about a year and a half now, and she has learned a lot on that journey and is just so giving with her wisdom today. So I'm so excited for you to listen. And without further ado, let's go chat with Lauren. Lauren, welcome back for the second time. That's a Live Free first, the second guest on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be back here again.
I am so excited too. Guys, if you have not yet listened to Lauren's first interview, we talked all about fitness and working out and maintaining your health as a work from home mom. And that was, gosh, that was back in almost a year ago we recorded, I feel like.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But your business has come a long way in that last year. And for those of you guys who don't know, Lauren is the Live Free podcast producer and strategist. I have had the pleasure of working with her before I started the podcast. It was, hey, Lauren, I'm starting a podcast. I want to work with you. Will you help me? And so this podcast is here because of this lovely lady. And she's also a overwhelmed to overbooked student, a graduate. We don't have a graduate program, but we should. And she's just here today to talk about her journey, how she's found success, and also to talk more about what it looks like and means to be a podcast manager. So Lauren, again, welcome. But I would love if we could just kind of start this episode out for maybe those who skip around a little bit, or maybe who this is the first episode they're listening to. If you could just give us your story, you know, that's a loaded question, right? Tell us your story. But introduce yourself to the lovely people in our audience.
Yes, thank you. And one of the things I love about podcast management is you feel like you get to know the host so well. So I feel like I talk to you every single day when we don't necessarily, but I love that about it. So I've loved working with you. But I am Lauren and I am a mom of two. I have two little girls, three and one and a half. And I built this business after I had my first. And because of that, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I had to make it work somehow. And so my story as far as how my business got started was right after I had my three-year-old, myself and a friend, we were in fitness, and my friend is a registered dietitian, and we decided we were going to start a podcast. So we knew nothing about anything. And this was 3 years ago, so it wasn't as popular. So we just figured it all out, you know, spent hours figuring it all out, bought a mic, that whole situation. And
YouTube a lot or Google or just like trial and error?
All of that. Yeah. So that's how, and I launched the podcast. So that's how I got into podcasting. From there, edited every episode, produced it, I realized, wait a second, someone's got to be looking for this service. So I got on Upwork and was looking for jobs where I could edit someone's podcast. Someone ended up hiring me and she paid me $30 an episode. It took me about 5 hours to do. So not ideal.
This was before she met me.
This is before Michaela, duh. And so, yeah, I just remember those days. Like, I thought it was awesome because I was doing it. And so that fueled me for a couple of months. But then it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm sitting on my couch, pulling my hair out because the quality was really low. And that's why I was spending so much time on it. And I really liked, the gal that I was working with, but I had to say no. This is not going to make sense. And so I let her go. And I think Upwork was taking a portion of that. It wasn't going to work long term. And I knew that. I knew my worth at that point. Like, you know what? This is just not quite worth my time. So I stopped doing it. That was, I want to say, in May of 2017. And so then I really still wanted to make it work somehow, but I just had no clue how that was going to work. So I gave up on it. And I met you, Michaela, randomly at a wedding. And I was at that time, maybe 6 months pregnant with my second. And my husband, who is very outgoing and likes to talk to strangers, whereas I'm outgoing, but I'm not going to walk up to someone. My husband's like, let's go talk to her. She has two kids too. Like as if that's
all you need. If you're like the only two young parents at a wedding and your kids are there, what else are you going to do except go talk to the other parents?
So yes, so we chatted with you for only a couple of minutes, but then I started following you on Facebook and I started realizing like, oh my gosh, this is so ironic. She's literally teaching what I have not been able to figure out. So that was definitely divinely sent. Like that was really crazy to me. And so then I ended up buying your course. And even though it seems like it would have made sense for me to start out in podcast editing, I actually had totally given up on that idea. I thought it was going to be too time consuming and no one was going to pay me what the effort that I was putting in. So I started off as a virtual assistant. I honestly loved virtual assistant. I feel like people think of that as like low on the totem pole of things to do as a freelancer, but I loved being a virtual assistant. And so I started with that, had a couple of clients, and then one of my virtual assistant clients launched a podcast. And she asked, can you do this? I've heard that you have some background in podcasting. And I'm like, oh yeah, for sure I can do this. And so then I launched her podcast and then just grew from there. And, I remember you and I had a conversation. Can I do this? Can I only do podcast management? Because that would be ideal. And the answer was yes. And so here I am. About a year later, it was about a year ago that I really niched down and have just ran with podcasting.
I love it. So one thing I want to point out from that is I see this so many times. I feel like shiny object syndrome is real. And I see this a lot in the course Facebook group where someone will have an idea of what they want to start out offering, kind of like you, like it would have made perfect sense for you to start out offering podcast management, but you had that, you hadn't seen it yet be super profitable and worth your time. I see so many people that feel like that too. They'll post in the group and be like, I want to make this much money. What services are you offering to get there? Well, first of all, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. It matters what you like, what you enjoy, what you are good at. And every single service has the potential to be profitable. It's just a matter of figuring it out, how it's going to work for you.
Yeah. And I actually was talking to someone the other day about video editing. And she said, I love hiring out video editing because if I were to do it, I would spend 5 hours on it and come out with, a mediocre product. Whereas if I hire someone for a certain amount of money, they know exactly how long they're going to spend on it and then they're going to be done. And I thought, wait, that's an interesting perspective because some video editors, they don't have a certain amount of time they're going to spend on something. They're going to spend hours and hours and hours. So I feel like you can make any, like you said, you can make any service profitable if you have those parameters of, okay, they're paying me X amount of money to do this video. So I'm going to spend this amount of time on it. I'm not going to spend too much time.
Yeah, exactly. And like I don't know how long it takes you to edit the podcast, but for me personally to try to do that, I would probably spend 20 hours a week, honestly, trying to figure it out. And I would hate every single second of it because that is not my interest. I love doing the podcast. I love doing interviews. If I was forced to go back and edit it, there would be no podcast. And so to me, hiring that out is just a no-brainer. And I mean, honestly, you could raise your prices, you could double your prices. And I would be like, absolutely. Of course, like if I want a podcast, I've got to keep Lauren. So whatever it takes, like hands down. And that's because the value there, every different service brings kind of like a different value. And for each client, it's going to be a little bit different. But like for me, why I hire out podcasting is because I, one, don't know how to do it. And I hate doing it. Well, I, for all the reasons. And if I didn't hire it out, it wouldn't get done.
For sure.
Like the trifecta.
It is. It is like that. And like what you just said is like music to the freelancer's ears. You're like, oh, I found the right client. I found the right service for myself. Like this is a sweet spot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So before we kind of go into more of like your success and your kind of journey of how you went from, oh my gosh, I don't even want to do the math, but the $30 an episode from Upwork to where you're at now, I would love if you could kind of walk us through kind of giving us like a day in the life of a podcast manager, because I mean, I don't even know what a podcast, I mean, I know what you do, but I think there's so many people out there listening that are probably new to the idea of freelancing. Maybe they're like, oh, I could get into, I would maybe be interested in podcast management. Could you kind of walk us through what that looks like on a day-to-day, week-to-week, monthly basis?
Yes. So my clients, they're releasing 1 to 2 episodes a week, and we have a retainer that it just continues month to month. So how that works is they give me the audio and then I just really do the rest, and the rest looks different for every single client. So for some clients, for one specific client that I have, I just edit the episode and I publish it. That's all that I do. Whereas on the other end of the spectrum, I will edit, publish, do show notes, create social media graphics, create those graphics with like the audio wave over them, book guests. So the range of services is just crazy. Usually speaking with podcast management, editing is the base of it all. Through my course, which I know we're going to talk about in a little while, I have other people in my course that instead of editing, they don't want to edit. So instead of editing as kind of their like base service, they have booking the guests or pitching the podcast host to be on other podcasts. So those are two things, the editing and the guest booking or the pitching, those are so time consuming and a lot of people do not like doing them. So though that's why it's usually like the base of the package or whatnot. So anyway, my workflow, I'll do the editing and it takes about 2 to 4 times the length of the episode to edit it. So if it's a 30-minute episode, it'll take anywhere from like 1 hour to 2 hours for me to edit it. I'm still home with my girls during the day. Although my oldest is going to preschool 2 times a week in a month. So I'm super excited about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So ideally I work in the morning, but actually I don't ever work in the morning. I work at night. So I work generally from like 7 PM to 10 PM. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll find hours here and then to kind of fill in. And then I also work on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. So if I woke up in the morning and worked before my girls got up, I probably wouldn't have to work Saturdays, but I love working Saturday mornings. And so I've kind of figured out my sweet spot is I can handle about 6 clients if I'm doing all editing, but I've scaled back a little bit from there and started to pick some different clients that I enjoy working with more. That's kind of my capacity with working about 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. And is that like Monday through Friday? Do you work Friday evenings too?
So I actually have Wednesday nights. I have a church group that I go to, so I don't work Wednesdays. So I work Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Sometimes I'll work Friday. I don't work Friday and Saturday night. I will pick one of those that I will for sure not work, but then I sometimes will have stuff planned as mm-hmm. well. So right now with my business, I'm like still able to be really flexible with social mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we're going to be doing stuff all day on Saturday and I can't work Saturday morning, then I will work Friday night and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it's just flexibility around the weekend, which I love.
Yeah. So I'm just curious with your schedule of working in the evenings, how does your husband feel about that? Cause I'm just like personally, sometimes I'll work in the evenings just to get a few things done. My schedule is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, roughly like 9 to 2-ish. So then Thursday, Friday, and then even in there's always something to be done, right? Like I could open my laptop at any time and have something to work on, even if it's just answering questions in the Facebook group. And sometimes Colin gets mad. And I'm like, but like, you have to understand, I'm choosing not to work during the day. And so I'm working now, but we're trying to kind of figure out my schedule and find what works best for me, what works best for my family. And I thought what I had was working great, but now Colin is getting a little frustrated.
Yeah, I think it's always such a work in progress. And with Sammy going to school, I am wondering like, okay, am I just going to work more? Because I'm going to be able to work during nap time again. So am I going to just do more? Or am I actually going to scale back on my evening hours? So I haven't figured that out because I would prefer to work more because I love working. And I honestly don't work that much in my mind. So I'm not working, you know what I mean? But yes, David, he cleans our house whenever I work, which is honestly, it's just an amazing situation for me.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, whenever he like does something else, like he'll like go do yard work and not clean the kitchen, I'm like, what in the world? I wake up and I'm like, the kitchen is disgusting. Who did not clean this? So that's what we have going on right now. And I wouldn't say he happily does it, but he's not complaining about it because he knows that I'm with the girls all day. Honestly, though, it really works for like my energy levels or like my moods, because when he comes home early, he works like 7 to 4. Mm-hmm. And so he gets home at around 4, and I'll most of the time I will leave. I will work at that time for like an hour before dinner, or I'll go work out, or I'll go run an errand or something, because I'm not that fun to be around at 4 o'clock. I need a break. I will either like unload on, not like unload negatively, but I'll just talk his ear off where he wants like a break because he just got home from work, mm-hmm. or I'll be sort of burnt out from the day. So it just works out with us really well for me to like take time when he gets home. Okay, I'm going to go work. I'm going to go use my other muscles, my brain, all that. And then, you know, we generally have dinner together and then I work evenings. So mm-hmm. It's really working right now, but we know that this is short-lived because mm-hmm. ultimately when my kids go to school, I will work during the day again and we'll have more time in the evening.
Yeah. I just think that's so cool. Like, I just love hearing different people's stories and how they combine freelancing and being a mom and make it work for their energy levels there and their lifestyle that they want to live. I think that's so cool. Thank you so much for kind of walking through what a podcast manager does, what that looks like. I'd love now if we could kind of dissect what you have done that has led to your success. Because, I mean, I think it's easy for outsiders to be like, oh, she's so lucky or she's so easy. But like, it's hard work. And you've done a lot in, let's see, 2017, almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
So what have been some things that you can attribute your success to?
Yes, I've thought about this. And I think that one of the biggest things that I can attribute to my success is, you know, it doesn't matter really how great of a job I do if I don't ever talk to leads. Mm-hmm. If I don't ever get connected with anyone, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, back whenever I decided, okay, I'm going all in on podcast management, and I would answer questions in your course group and connect with just like chatting with people, not anything super strategic, but I know that you teach that. It's so powerful. And, you know, everyone just started like learning, okay, Lauren does podcast management. And just having a group of people that knew that about me and would recommend me to their clients or recommend me in Facebook groups, that really built my business early on, was that single way. I don't have a lot of clients that have referred me to friends of theirs or whatnot that have those clients have worked out. Mm-hmm. It's been all through that networking. And then even more, I've started to become a little bit even more mindful about building relationships with OBMs, because an OBM is going to be working for a client who might start a podcast. And if I, it's not like I don't do this sneakily, but like I'll make a friendship with an OBM and say, hey, how can I help you network? How can I, what kind of jobs are you looking for? Blah, blah, blah. And then they always have my back if they hear about someone that is looking to start a podcast. So I think that little switch has helped me a lot, is knowing what kind of like quote unquote partnerships I can make with other freelancers that could ultimately, you know, lead in a, end up in a job where I know I'll maybe even be working with an OBM that I really like. Mm-hmm.
Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, because a lot of times when, like when I'm going to hire someone or we have a new spot opening up on the team to start, I'll go to women that I'm already working with. Mostly I'll go to McKinsey and say, hey, who do you have in mind for XYZ? Because McKinsey's kind of my OBM. And so she'd be the one that would be working with the most. So I go to her. Now I hope McKinsey doesn't get 100 friend requests like, hey, let's be best friends. But that's who a lot of times the clients will go to first to say, hey, what are your thoughts? Because people that have these growing businesses, they don't have a ton of time to go search through everyone. And so I think those strategic partnerships where, whether it's strategic or whether it's just like, you know, informal, hey, you're this, I'm this, like, how can we help each other type of relationship? That's so, so powerful. And you want to find someone who is complementary services. So obviously, Lauren's not going to go be like, hey, podcast managers, when you see someone, you know, let's help each other. Obviously, Lauren, you help podcast managers now because you have your program and your course, and you've just always been willing to help anyone in our Facebook group. But if someone's like a virtual assistant, you need to find that strategic partnership whose services you complement and their services complement you.
Yeah. And part of that too is my ideal client at this point has about 5 people on their team. So they're going to have an OBM. They're going to have a social media manager maybe. So that's another way for me to really be looking for the right person. Because I mean, to be honest, I see a lot of jobs for a podcast editor, but that's not what I'm looking for at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for someone who's a little bit more established in their business. And so they're going to have OBMs, like I said.
Why are you looking for someone more established? Just curious.
Because I want kind of more of like a robust podcast, a robust, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. If they have a course, if they have a coaching program, I want to make sure that those things are already set up, because podcasting just in itself does not make money. Just like how blogging does not make money. You have to set up a monetization strategy around it. So if I'm working with someone who says, like, hey, I would love to launch a podcast, and they don't have a business, they're not going to be able to afford me. They're not going to be able to afford me long term. So I would rather work with someone And I just love, like, I love business coaches in that kind of world. Mm-hmm. So that's who I prefer to work with. And if they're adding a podcast, I find that it's best in their favor and in my favor if they already have whatever it is they're offering kind of already tested, approved, going.
Yeah, it's already up and running. They're not in that discovery mode yet. They're like ready to get out there and go. That's going to lead to probably them being able to afford a higher price package point and recurring retainer income so that you're not constantly searching for the next client or the new client.
Yeah. And I love doing the strategy behind podcasting now. And so someone that's just starting out, they don't maybe see the value in that, or they're just not ready for that piece yet. So someone that's more established, they're like, oh yeah, I need a strategy. I'm not wasting time. A lot of podcasters like to do it for fun. Mm-hmm. I think podcasting is fun too, but I'm not interested in working with someone that's doing it just for fun. I love, as a hobby or whatnot. I really love that strategy piece and being mindful about what topics you're sharing. And
how did you get started in the strategy role?
Well, to be honest, I had my friend and I's podcast, which we stopped doing in January of this year. And it was because we started it as a quote unquote hobby and we floundered. And that's what happens with a lot of people, is it's like, you just start a podcast, you just start a blog, which is, we had so much fun. I don't want to act like it was a bad idea. It was so much fun.
It was not a bad idea because it led you to what you're doing now. You've learned so much from it.
Exactly. And it built that relationship up with my friends. Like so many good things have come from it. But because we weren't really sure like what we were doing, I had to get good at the strategy piece, or we were like seriously wasting our time, which, it was a very fun hobby. But so that's how I learned the strategy behind it, is because we were like, okay, how can we make this make more sense for us? And so I just started digging and seeing what worked, what was working for other people, asking questions, getting on email lists, and learning by just doing.
Yeah. Wow. Did you ever have any imposter syndrome or do you with that? Because I see this in everyone, almost just about everyone, of there being like, oh, I'm so excited. Like, I know I can do this. I know I'm good at this, but I'm scared or I'm nervous or ...
Yeah. I'm like just inherently like a confident person. So I find myself getting into situations where I will lead with a lot of confidence and I'll land a job or I'll get myself into an amazing situation. And then I'm like, oh, I, like you said, imposter syndrome strikes. My confidence all of a sudden is gone. And I'm like, wait, maybe I'll downplay what I know, or I'll, not price something as high as I should. So that's where my imposter syndrome comes in, is like, am I worthy of working with this person, or do I really have something to offer them? Do I really have something that they couldn't? And one lesson I learned was, just because someone can find the information on their own doesn't make you less valuable, because they're hiring you to make it easier for them, whether it's actually implementing stuff or applying the knowledge you have to their business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I have a course on how to produce and edit a podcast. I purchased that and then I didn't even watch one video of it. I mean, I went through the like launch part, and when it got to the editing, I knew hands down, I do not want to do this. That's where yeah. I was like, and because you've built up that relationship, because you've networked so much and kind of built this reputation, and because you're like, you are active in the course group, which if you guys are in the course group, I want to encourage you so much. That is a great place to spend your time and build relationships and connect with women there, because I've just seen how those relationships can be so powerful going forward.
Yeah. And I can speak to that, because the very beginning of my story actually was when I graduated in college in 2012, I became a Beachbody coach. And loved it for 2 months, hated it for a lot longer. But I learned so much from that, definitely learned that an MLM was not my thing, but it gave me that entrepreneurial bug. So that was the beginning of me thinking, you know what, I'm gonna have to have my own business someday. Don't know what it's gonna look like, but it's gonna happen. And in that process, I bought a marketing course, learned a lot about lead magnets and like the marketing side. But in that course, that instructor taught that really to like kind of put your head down and work and to be cognizant of all of the time that you spent networking, because it wouldn't end up being worth it. And that led me down really the wrong path. It was a lesson that I had to learn of, you know, I tried to build a business by talking to no one, of just working, putting my head down. And then so I learned that lesson. And then when I met you and joined your course, I told myself two things. Number one, what I've done has not worked. And that is not having the guts to talk to people about what I want to do, not putting myself into that vulnerable position of, hey, yeah, I'd love to be a virtual assistant. What have you done? How has it worked for you? And just doing that sort of networking, that is 100% one of the reasons that I've been successful. And then also, like I said earlier about being confident and getting into a position, I've then had to stay teachable, stay humble. Once I get into the confidence, once I've just like learned something, okay, I don't know everything just because I learned one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm always learning. All I like in my free time is spent listening to business books on Audible and or listening to podcasts of other people who I look up to, mentors, people who I feel like can teach me something. And I'm just like a sponge, and I love it because I don't have a background in business. I don't have a background in marketing or any of this stuff. And so it's so fun to me to keep learning.
Yeah. I so agree with you there.
And I feel like the other thing that you've done really good at that a lot of people resist, like if I'm looking at you and like, I knew you in the beginning, way back then, our course group was so much smaller. So from then to now, I feel like you've really embraced this idea of niching down. And a lot of people resist that because they see, oh my gosh, I can't, why would I niche down? That means I'm turning away clients. And I would just love if you could kind of share more about how you did that and why, and if you think that's helped you be successful.
Yeah. I always knew that I didn't need a lot of clients. So I've never been about quantity of clients because I only have 20 hours a week. I want to go deep with a client rather than have a lot of clients. So niching down was never seemed a negative to me because it's like, I only need like maybe 5 really awesome clients. And granted, yes, there's turnover and I need to stay out there, but 5 is to me that number is like, it's a lot in my mind, but it's not that many. You can find 5 clients in the course of maybe 6 months or whatever.
Absolutely.
That's a quick period of building your business.
That's yet one client a month.
Yeah.
Very, very doable.
Yeah. But yet if you lose one, it's just one. It's just 1/5 of your clients, maybe not 1/5 of your income, but 1/5 of your clients, you can replace that person. So yeah, I think niching down has definitely been good for me because of networking, because of being that person that people know, okay, she does podcast stuff. And then I love ideal client. Like I think that's so smart to think, okay, who do I really want to work with? And then go find that person instead of coming from that place of like insecurity of who wants to work with me? I'll work with anybody. Just pay me money. You know, I've really resisted that mentality. I will fall into that sometimes, mm-hmm. but I just remind myself like, no, there are people out there that I want to work with and I just have to go out and find them.
Mm-hmm. How have you found them?
Facebook and people recommending me, not mm-hmm. clients, but other freelancers recommending mm-hmm. me.
And that goes back to the networking piece again. And I remembered I had a thought and then it lost me because, you know, mom brain. But a lot of people feel like they get lost in the Facebook groups, especially some of the bigger groups, which is very valid. And I 100% when you're like the 50th person to come to a hire me thread or I'm looking to hire thread, you resist and you're like, there's no reason like they would ever even read my message or look at me. So why bother? But it's not just about those threads. There's multiple other ways of how you land clients in Facebook groups. And if your only strategy right now, if you're in Facebook groups and all you're doing is commenting on the higher threads, you are missing 90% of the other things that it takes to land a client in a Facebook group. It's all about building the relationships with the people in that group and the potential clients, the people who offer complimentary services to you. It's like the whole picture that helps you be successful and land clients in Facebook groups. It will never, ever just be, hey, I offer these services.
Yeah. And most of the time, I don't know how, well, I don't really ever know how someone contacts me. Like my last three people that I've talked to, I've asked them like, oh, by the way, how did you hear about me? And they'll say, oh, Facebook groups. And I want to like quiz them and get a lot more information.
Okay. Which group? who tagged me? All of these things.
What's working? But see, I don't get a lot of tags anymore because I'm not just a podcast manager anymore because I'm into this, you know, kind of next level. I don't get a ton of tags anymore. And so really what it's, like you said, it's this big combination of things. It's me answering questions, just engaging. And I remember you taught and told me, you know, a year and a half ago, spend 10 to 15 minutes a day networking in groups. I still have that as a daily goal. Mm. And so, you know, and now it's hard because I get lost in like,
yeah,
you know, I get lost in like the fun stuff, but I don't know. I think maybe that helps me sometimes too, is talking with people in your course group and stuff like that. But yeah, I still try to spend 10 minutes a day engaging in Facebook groups.
That's awesome. I love that because also you're probably not actively looking for clients, but it's still something you're doing in case, God forbid, one of your clients went a different direction, or if you realized, oh my gosh, I cannot work with Michaela Quinn anymore. She never gets me her episodes on time. Which, guys, Lauren is a saint. I'm working on it slowly but surely. But you built this business that is sustainable and profitable. And if like one of your clients left, you would be able to find a new one with no delay. I have full confidence in that for you.
Yeah.
Okay, Lauren, so to kind of start wrapping this up, I would love if you could tell us more about like what your course includes.
Yes. So it teaches how to edit a podcast, launch a podcast for a client, promote the podcast, market the podcast, and then some other miscellaneous things like booking clients and all of that. So I cover, the only thing that I don't get into is pitching. That's one thing that there's other courses out there that teach how to pitch. My specialty is in all of the other stuff. So yeah, my course teaches all of those things and it's designed to help you to feel confident and have the skills to go land a client as a podcast manager.
Mm-hmm. Do you provide like ongoing help and support in that program as well?
Yes. Yeah. We have a Facebook group and I have a hire form. But yeah, we do a lot of networking within the group because I'm so big on the ideal client, especially mm-hmm. with podcasting, because you're listening to them for 3 hours a week. You have to like the host. You have to like the content. So someone will get a lead and they'll say, you know what, this is not my thing. Would anyone love to do one on fitness or one on a podcast on health or whatever? So we do a lot of inner networking. Mm-hmm. And so then, yeah, there's continued support within the Facebook group.
I love it. I love it. So how do I know, or someone listening, how do they know if like they should pursue podcast management, or if like they would be a good fit to learn that or to take that on? Do you have any insight or ideas around that?
Yes. Most everyone in our course group labels themselves as a podcast junkie. Mm-hmm. So if you love podcasts, I would definitely look into it. If you don't know if you'll like editing, that's okay. If anyone listening is a fan of the Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 7, which means that I don't like details. I'm a big picture person. So the fact that I like editing is actually really unusual because it's so detail oriented, but I get so much, I love editing. Like it's just something that I really enjoy. So I would say if you're not sure if that piece is going to work for you, I would try it out. And then I have people in my course group that they partner with someone else. One person does the editing. And then that person that doesn't really love editing, they do all of everything else. Mm. The management, the marketing, all of the rest of the management skills.
Yeah. Awesome. So could you help give us a range of like what a podcast package price could look like? Maybe like on the beginner side to like, is there a ceiling or how does that look?
Yeah. There really is not a ceiling because you can keep adding on services. And then as you get more and more experience, and when I say more experience, just like as months go by, you're getting so much experience. So it's not even like a long-term thing, mm-hmm. but as you get experience, you know, upping your rates little by little, and also adding on more services, because generally a client isn't ready to go all out all of the services at one time. So a lot of times someone will start with, okay, can you help me launch and edit my podcast? And then 3 months in, they're like, you know what? I really don't like doing show notes. Can you do show notes? Okay. Oh, you know what? I would love for you to help out with pulling quotes, creating social media graphics, because they love doing the podcast, but they don't like doing all the work, all the extra stuff, just like you were saying. So mm-hmm. I find that packages really grow on their own. If you're providing great service, that therefore the ceiling is just like not even there, because you're just upping your prices and going deeper with your clients. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, because I'm very upfront with pricing and I want to be on the podcast, usually my rule of thumb is if you're editing like a 30 to 45 minute episode and there's 4 months, then and you're just editing, that's around $300 a month. Mm-hmm. So if that gives people an idea of where like the very starting
bare bone start.
Right.
Awesome. And if someone already has maybe like video editing experience or they've done something else, it's probably easy to then pick up.
Right.
Podcast management.
Right. So if you have any experience in like blog management, a lot of podcast management is writing. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. you're writing descriptions of the episode. Oh, we haven't even mentioned transcription. So transcription, creating blog posts based on the episodes. So you can really run with the writing piece mm-hmm. too. But then there's also the marketing. Mm-hmm. So if you have any experience in social media management or any sort of marketing, then you can run with that. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of different directions if you have experience on how to position yourself to show your strengths from the get-go.
Awesome. And do you have any insight on the future? Last question, I promise. Any insight on the future of podcasting?
It's really exciting right now because we're still on the upswing for sure. There's so much uncharted territory with podcasting still. And I think for every like 600 blogs, there's one podcast or something crazy like that. Like podcasts are still so fresh. Even though podcasting has been around for like 20 years, but as far as, you know, it being a normal thing, it's just, the future is amazing. People are really starting to really see the value in hiring out editing. Like it's exciting. I'm excited for it.
Anytime I see someone being like, should I do a YouTube channel? Should I do a podcast? I always vote podcast. That's my hands down. I think podcasting is way better business-wise than the other forms.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think it's growing, and I see so many people being like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast, or they've got their program down. They've, you know, their course or whatever. And now they're looking to grow the visibility piece, and it's okay. I'm going to start a podcast, but businesses, guys, a lot of times people can't take on one more thing because that one thing comes with a lot. So they outsource it. Okay. Have a great day. Lauren, thank you so much for being here. You are fabulous, and I so appreciate you and everything that you do to help me get this podcast out there.
Thanks so much for having me on today.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.